Good morning, everyone. It's truly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to see all of you. And if you know, I'll take my glasses off. We as a church have been embarking on reading the Bible in a year. And so our church and churches all over and worldwide, we have come together to read the Bible together through the Bible Project. So, if you're not reading, or if you need a partner to read with, read with us. Yeah. It's good to read God's word by yourself at home, but it is amazing when we can come together as believers and read his word and internalize it, and then go out there and draw people to him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so my name is Ada. My husband is Jerome Mosley back there in the back. And I am from Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm telling you that because I'm a little bit country. So do we have some people from the South or Tennessee in here? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. So if I say something that you don't understand, look to those people sitting next to you that's from the South and say, what'd she say? They'll be able to help you, okay? All right. So we have been talking about the Torah or the law. We're going to start reading in Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. It says, then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow down and worship to them, and do not serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and declared it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Amen? So right out the door, bam! Do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. So, now that I gave you all those do nots, and honestly, you guys, I think that the word of God is like medicine, all right? So, we're going to give you a teaspoon of sugar to help that medicine go down, all right? John 13, 34, 35. I'm going to read it from there because it's not on my screen. I give you a new command. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen? All right. May God have a blessing for the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. All right. So, when I was a little girl, and like I said, I consider the word medicine. When I was a little girl, I have an auntie who had just a bunch of children. And when one person got sick, everybody got sick. So what she'd do is kind of line us up to take this medicine. Everybody kind of reacted a different way. So what she'd do is she'd get you to open your mouth, and she'd put it in, and she'd blow. You couldn't do nothing but take down the medicine, right? So that's my prayer this morning, that as we receive this medicine of God's word, that the Holy Spirit would just blow on us. And we receive it how he gives it to us. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for being God. Lord, we thank you for your mercies and your wonderful grace towards us. Create in us clean hearts, Lord, and renew the right spirit within us. Lord, we love you. We bless you today. I decrease that you may increase in us. Let your word go forth with power and with healing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so Exodus is the continuation of Genesis in that we see within it the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham to make him a great nation, the nation of Israel. To accomplish this, God brought the people of Israel, Abraham's descendants, out of bondage in Egypt through the deliverance of Moses and the plagues that he had called down on the Egyptians. This is just a recap, y'all. Exodus shows us how God kept Pharaoh from continuing to oppress the Israelites and destroying them. It also shows us how God moved the people of Israel into the wilderness to begin the process of developing them into the nation he wanted them to become. Amen? All right, so we've been talking about the Torah, which is called the Law, and it's the first five books of the Old Testament. It's also called the Law of Moses and the Pentateuch. All those are correct. First weekend, Pastor Drew talked about God's creation of man and everything else. He also talked about the fall of man and the sin that separated us from God. Pastor Amy hit us with, God's call to Abram, and then calling him Abraham, and then the covenant that he made with him and God's people, the Israelites. Then Pastor Drew last week talked about how God heard the Israelites in Egypt, and he delivers. He didn't just do it then, y'all. He does it now, amen? Amen. So, what is the purpose of all this? We got covenants, you got consecrations, you got laws. Well, covenants are a binding contract or binding relationship, not a contract, amen? So contracts you can break, but God makes covenants and you can't break them that easy. Not like a credit card bill where you say, oh, I'm gonna pay, and then you don't pay. It don't work like that. Covenants are the instruments through which God's kingdom operates. If Israel would operate under the covering of God's covenant, they would be his kingdom of priests and holy nation, experiencing the benefits and the privileges that his kingdom offers. Doesn't that sound good? Experiencing his benefits. Now, in Exodus 19, in Exodus 19, that's when God uses Moses. He says, I need you to go and give a message to the Israelites for me. He said, I need you to tell them that I want to be their king, pretty much. He says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He's talking about the walk through the Red Sea. That was miraculous, amen? He said, now, if you would carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples, out of all the nations in the world. Now, everything is his, but he said, if you would keep my covenant, you're going to be my special people, my holy nation. Amen? He says, and you will be a kingdom of priests. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. So he told Moses, go and tell the people this. Now, at this point, it was like 3 months after they had been delivered out of Egypt. So they were at the foot of the mountain, or the mountain of God. All right? So now we get into consecration. What's that? That's the separation of oneself from things that are unclean, even the things that will contaminate our relationship with God. And then laws. Laws promote order in society, and they prevent chaos. God's laws give boundaries, direction, and instructions. Because one point in Exodus 19, God tells Moses to tell the Israelites, now, y'all gonna clean up, I want y'all to be consecrated, but I need y'all to stop. He put a boundary right there at the mountain. He said, don't go past this point. The purpose of that is what? You can't approach God any kind of way. Amen? Yeah. We can't come to God any kind of way. Yes, he says, come as you are. But there's a process. There's a way of doing things. God is a mighty God, and we can't just show up any kind of way. All right? And remember, they had been in Egypt all this time as slaves. So, let's define the law or God's law. As I said before, law or God's law is his instructions or his guidelines to ensure that we reflect his behavior. An earthly copy of an internal, earth or heavenly, unchanging standard of holiness. It says in God's word, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. That's in Psalms 119 and 89. So if y'all want to write these scriptures down and go back and read them for yourselves, that would be a blessing. Again, God's law is perfect, it's eternal, and it stands firm in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, in the Torah alone, there is over 600 laws, just the first five books. Come on now. Who could possibly keep all of those laws? And y'all can talk back to me just a little bit. It kind of helps me move a little bit, all right? Now, we couldn't possibly keep all those laws, but we can continuously turn to God and his word and walk us through this life. That's the purpose in those commands, to keep us turning to God. So why give them? Well, his laws reveal his character, right? They revealed his character to his nation then, and they reveal his character to us now. He told Abraham, if you leave everything you know, I will make you a great nation. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Come on. It's God. Okay. So, and the other purpose of that is to reveal the sinfulness of man. Without the law, we wouldn't know we're messing up, right? Okay. It also provides forgiveness for us, and it teaches us how to worship. Pastor Drew talked about in Exodus 3, verse 12, God told Moses in Exodus 3, verse 12, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who sent you. Because remember, Moses says, I can't do this. I can't talk. I was saying that too. Lord, why me? He says, I got you. I'll speak through you. So in Exodus 12, 1, he says, and this will be your sign that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this mountain. He says, the commands cause you to worship. Commands teach you how to worship me. Because that's what this life is all about, y'all. We were created to worship God. Period. Period. Our lifestyle can be a lifestyle of worship. It's like, it's not just about doing this, because you can do this without raising your hands in your car. You can do this without raising your hands on your job. You can do this without raising your hands while you discipline those children. That's a life of worship, amen? All right. He said if they would follow his direction, they would set everything aside for him, do what he asks, be willing and obedient. That's our act of worship. That's their act of worship. But the law can't save us, right? Okay, think of about this way. Even scripture says this. The law is like a mirror. You slept real good last night. You woke up, oh, your hair is all over your head. You got crusty stuff all in your eyes, mouth all dry. You go to this mirror, and the mirror tells you everything that's wrong, everything. It's not going to lie to you, right? But can that mirror fix everything that's wrong? Absolutely not. Absolutely. The law cannot fix what's wrong with us. It shows us what's wrong to push us and drive us to the cross. Lord, my face is messed up. I need you to wash me. Lord, my hair is a mess all over the place. Lord, I need you to settle me. That's what the word of God does for us. Amen? It shows us our flaws, but it can't fix our flaws. The only one that can do that is Jesus. Jesus saves. In John 14 and 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Whew, thank you, Lord. So, do we have to follow the law and the commands? All of them? Absolutely, yes. Think about it. If you go out in the streets and you break a law, you're going to get punished. You might even go to jail. You might even die. So you have to follow the laws out there, and you have to follow the laws in here. Amen. The Israelites wandered in the desert and broke the commandments so much that most of them didn't even make it into the promised land. Now, I ain't going to ruin the story for you, so you go on and read some, but they didn't make it because of disobedience. They didn't make it because they tempted God. They didn't make it because of murder in their hearts and idolatry. They didn't make it because they stole, they lied, they cheated. Everything you can name that was bad, they did it. And they even doubted God. A lot of times we sin, a lot of times we disobey is because we doubt God. We doubt his word. Can y'all relate?
Yeah.
I can. That says that we don't trust him, but he wants difference for us. Now, because they've been in the wilderness all this time, what would they learn in the wilderness? They will learn how to walk with God. That's always been his goal. That's always been his desire, ever since the beginning. From the garden was created for us to be in communion with God. Sin separated us. The purpose of the wilderness is to trust him and to trust his plan. It's a lot that takes place in the wilderness. Y'all put that picture up there? I want to see it. Look how dry it is. There's rocks. Okay, I'll turn back around. But I mean, development takes place in the wilderness, in those dry places in our lives. Development takes place. We have to go through the wilderness. God is always trying to get us back to him, back on the right track. Whether we stepping on rocks, you know, you kick rocks, kick them out the way to get back on track. He was then and he is now. Why? Because he wanted, and he does now, to treat us like he said he would, like his own special treasure possession, his kingdom priests, and a holy nation. Are you in the wilderness right now? A dry desert land. And what does that look like? It could look like different things to different people, but tough times, hard decisions, health crisis, financial stress, emotional drought, depression, loss of loved ones, loss of friends, jobs, health. How has the law, and how does the law help you? Are you even looking to the law? I'm convinced that everything we need is in the Word of God. Not because I say it, but because the Word says it. There is nothing you can go through in life that the Bible won't touch. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that because you're in the wilderness right now. Because if you're not in the wilderness, keep living. It's coming, right? Not to say that you're walking in disobedience because you're in a wilderness place right now. But everybody has to go through the wilderness because it develops us. And if we do a daily check of our lives like we're supposed to, there's some wilderness stuff happening. Amen? God doesn't want us in the wilderness, but he has to take us through the wilderness to get us to where we are. Now, I want you to know that if you're in the wilderness right now, he sees you, he hears you, he knows you, and he desires for you to be free. Yeah. The same way he heard the Israelites then, he hears us now.
Yeah.
The same way he delivered the Israelites then, he can deliver us now.
Right.
So the point of the wilderness in our lives, just remember, God could have took the Israelites and placed them into the promised land like that, because he's God. He could have did it. But he said, nope. They've been enslaved for over 400 years. Their mentality is slavery. I got to prepare them. I got to prepare them for the promised land. kind of like children. You don't just, one of our kids always wanted to drive. I want to drive. 5 years old, I want to drive. Well, we know that he wasn't ready to drive. Even though he'd get in the seat and he wasn't ready to drive. So we had to prepare him. He had to go through a development before we could put him in that seat. The same thing with us. He says, I can't just drop you where you want to be or where you think you're supposed to be. I got to put you through some things first, or let you go through some things, so that once you get there, you're going to, right, you know what you're doing, and you can appreciate it. And then you can help someone else get there. Like, I've been through that. Come on over here and let me pray for you and show you how to get to the other side. Amen? Testing also comes in the wilderness. Ooh. That could come in any form. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever he's delivered you from, every now and again that test will come. Let me see. Let me see how far he's gotten. Let me see where she is. Even Jesus was tested in the wilderness. Just after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. And this is Jesus we're talking about. He was tempted by what? The devil. 1 Corinthians 15:45-47, I'm going to read it. It says, as the second Adam, that's Jesus, or last Adam, the first Adam was tested in the garden. He gave in to Satan and got the human race kicked out into the wilderness. First Adam is Adam. Jesus is our second Adam. The last Adam, Jesus, went into the wilderness to defeat Satan so that he could escort us back to the garden again. Amen?
Amen.
Whew. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you for Jesus. How did Jesus handle his wilderness situation? Now, we know he's Jesus. He's perfect. And he got this. But his life teaches us how to handle wilderness situations. He didn't try to fight the devil. He didn't say, get out of here. What he used was God's word. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Now, I have some friends that every now and again, they say, you talk to yourself a lot. Man, I used to talk about my husband talking to himself a lot. But I found that I do a lot of talking to God. Because up here, it'd be a whole lot of stuff going on. And I had to say, it is written. You are a lie, Satan. That's not what's going to happen to me. Because, you know, he'll try to make you think that you're in the wrong place, you're doing the wrong things, you're the wrong person, you don't look good enough, you ain't. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. It is written. It is written. It is written. Amen? Now, Jesus did it, and he went through everything that we went through, yet without sin. So we wouldn't have to try and keep the law on our own. Amen? So, Adam, because of Jesus, we don't have to. We don't need the Old Testament laws, do we? Sorry. That's not the truth. Even though we can't keep the laws, Christ fulfills the law for us. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 17, says, don't think, this is Jesus talking, all right? He said, don't think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. That's Moses. I did not come to abolish, but fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. Jesus said that Jesus came to get rid of everything. So he is the fulfillment of the law. Amen? Y'all bear with me because I never read it off my laptop. So in order to provide us with righteousness, Jesus had to live a life of complete obedience to God's law, all of it. So how dare we think that we don't have to keep all of the law? You'll hear some people say, well, we're in the New Testament now. We don't need the Old Testament law. Well, that's not the truth, because all of God's word is truth. All of God's word is active and powerful, all right? Then Jesus goes into details about the heart, because that's what it's all about, right? Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 21. He says, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors. Now we're kind of going back to the commandments, but Jesus is talking about them in the New Testament. Yeah. He says, do not murder, and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. Jesus says, but I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister is already subject to judgment. In verse 27, he said, you have heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now we get into the nitty-gritty because it's the heart condition. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, not me, but the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. God is concerned with our heart condition. He examines our minds and he tests our hearts, which explains why when sometimes you read the word or you hear people testify about, I read the word and it felt like he was just like looking into the deepest recesses of my mind. That's what the word does. It's powerful, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, amen? They said we feel like God is pointing, and he's not doing it to make you feel bad. He's doing it so that you can repent and be drawn back to him. From the beginning of time, since we sinned, his goal has always been to pull us back to him, amen?
That's right.
He wants you so near to him, and sin separates us. So we got to stay on our face before God. You say, I'm without sin. That's a lie. Regardless of whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, God wants to lavish us with his unfailing love through his word and his commands. Okay, so how does and what does the law teach us about love then? Because this is what I see. Every time I read something about the law or commands, I see love in the law. Now, it's hard to get that when somebody's saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But we do that to our children because we love them. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't jump out the bed like that because it's too high. I mean, we do that because we love. Well, God does the same for us because he loves us. Exodus 21, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Only God can do that. He said, I heard your cries then while you were in slavery, and he hears us now. He said, I delivered them, and I can deliver you. I don't know about y'all, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he says, let me show you how to remain in me and my commands to remain in you. So the first five commandments deals with our relationship with God. The next five pretty much deals with our relationship with others. He said, now, if you serve only me, have no other gods as your source, no idols, because he says he's a jealous God. He don't want you treating something else better than you treat him. He said, don't bow down to idols. Stop worshiping other things, other people. No more American idols. Don't misuse his name. God's name is to be revered. And sometimes we just throw it out there, whether it be a cuss word or be, well, he says he doesn't like that. And you won't go unpunished for doing that. So I admonish us to stop using his name in vain. He also says, remember the Sabbath day. Now, there's his argument. When is the Sabbath day? When is the Sabbath day? God wants you to rest. He said, I gave you 6 days to work. Now, God wasn't tired. Because he's God. But he wanted to give us an example of rest. He said, I need you to rest. I need you to refuel. And I need you to just step back and look at what you're working so hard for.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what he did.
Yeah.
Everything he made, he said it was good.
Yeah.
Then on that day, he stepped back and like, look at that. Look at my people. Look at all my creation. Look at the lions and the tigers and the bears. Look at that. Look at the sheep. If we would start there with honoring him first, worship and rest, I believe he will lead us into honoring others as well. God says, I will teach you how to honor your parents. I will teach you how to care for people. I'll teach you how not to murder them physically or with your words. Now, it specifically said murder and not kill, because murder was an attack, not just on people, but on God, because we're created in his image. So when you murder someone, you're murdering God. Amen? So he says, do not murder, not just physically, but even with your words. I don't know about y'all, but I done killed a lot of people with my words. He'll teach us how to stay faithful in relationships. He'll teach us how not to lie. He'll teach us how to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what he wants for us. He'll teach us how to inherit the kingdom that he possesses. He said, I'll teach you how to be a set-apart people from the rest of the people. Not that you're better than anyone. Wouldn't you want that label on you? I'm God's anointed. I'm God's favorite. John said it a lot, right? He tagged himself. I'm the favorite. Well, I'm going to tag myself, just like God said. I'm his kingdom priest. You're his kingdom priest, his holy nation. Amen? This is his desire for us. Now, in closing, worship team, you can come up. He is saying to us today. He is saying to you today. In 1 John 2:3-5, this is how we know. Now, when I was reading this, the word know, just like it jumped off the page at me. That word is intimate. When we know him, that's an intimate relationship with him. It says through a personal experience, firsthand knowledge, that we know him if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him intimately, and yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever, say whoever, whoever keeps his word. Now, I want to point out something. It switches from commands to word. And I looked at all the versions. I was like, huh, that's another thing that popped out. He says, whoever keeps his word. Well, that word changes there because that, the word, means logos, which means Christ. Come on, y'all. So it would say, make sure I get this right. The one who says, I have come to know him and yet doesn't keep his command is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever says, but whoever keeps his Christ, I'm trying to find my place, y'all, but this is good. Truly in him, says whoever keeps Christ, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. So it switches from these laws, these rules, these commands to logos, Christ. So if you keep Christ in here, if you keep Christ first and foremost, truly the love of God is made complete in you. This is how we know we are in him. Oh, how he loves us. He has such a great plan for us. So would it be safe to say that the laws and the commands were given because of God's great love for us? I know it's sometimes hard to see love and law, but that's exactly what it is. That he will step down from his kingdom, from his throne, step down here into earth to save us. Oh, what love. Our perfect sacrificial lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. Y'all be blessed, amen.